Good morning. Welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church. I'm Mary Lynn Polk, the lay leader, and I appreciate your getting quiet so that you can hear the announcements and begin to prepare your hearts for worship. Please register your attendance in the pads on the sides of the pews and pass it down. This is the holiday, and we do have a lot of folks who have been members in this church, who are back visiting. So please make a note of your presence and share that information with others on your pew. Let us prepare our hearts for worship by singing the hymn of preparation found at the top of your bulletin. There are two announcements in your bulletin that I would like to call to your attention. Please note them. There are events that will be happening this week. The first one is the caroling experience this afternoon at 4 o'clock. Meet in the fellowship hall. Coach Sheldon LaClasse will be leading the caroling. And then afterwards, they're going to a local restaurant for supper. And also the candlelight communion service, which will be held in the sanctuary on Christmas Eve. It's 6 o'clock. Come as you are and leave forever changed. I would also like to call your attention to two announcements that you will find in the newsletter. The first one is that the Pastor's Relief Fund needs replenishing. This is a particularly difficult time of the year for many of the folks in our community, and the Pastor's Relief Fund is used to help turn on heating bills, keep them on, help people who have been evicted from their homes over the holidays. So please bring what you can spare to the church office for the Pastor's Relief Fund. And finally, Project Warm is December the 30th and 31st. We need folks to sign up. You can sign up on the sheet just outside the church office or call the office and let Emmy know that you will be available. Now, let us continue with our worship as the acolytes enter the sanctuary with the light of Christ.
Thank you. Please stand and join me for the call to worship. Before the majesty of God, we gather to worship. In quiet expectation, we come to hear God's promises. Before God's strength and power, we bow down. In hesitant anticipation, we listen for God's judgment. Before the mercy of God, we lift our hearts. In humble imagination, we welcome a new visitation. Thank you.
Please be seated. I invite you to join me in the invocation. Let your face shine on us, Almighty God. Break through the obstacles that keep us from seeing your way. Melt down the barriers that keep us from knowing the embrace of your love. Remove from us the low self-esteem that keeps us from valuing the overwhelming gift of life that you entrust to us. Speak to us here in life-changing accents. Amen.
We light again the first three candles. We remember our longing for God to be with us, to give us peace, and to rejoice with us. Today we light a fourth candle, the candle of love, and our circle is complete. This candle is a symbol of God's love that was born anew in baby Jesus on Christmas Day. It is a love that has no ending, that lives on in young and old, not just at Christmas, but throughout the year. Let us pray together. O God, come travel with us through Advent. Give us courage to spread love in the world, now and forever. Amen.
We take time, a special time in worship today, for a word of personal witness from Wesley Kelly. And I don't have my glasses on. There he is. Wesley, we're coming forth just to share with us a word of personal witness about God working in his life at this time.
First of all, I just want to thank y'all for all the prayers and all the letters y'all sent me these past 2 months. It's been hard, but I made it through. I just want to tell y'all a little bit what I've been through and where I'm at now. When I was growing up, I had a good family. My brothers and me were playing in the backyard all the time. Once I got older, about middle school and high school, I started drifting them apart, just kind of doing my own little thing, going out on the weekends. So I started about when I was about 13 or 14, I started drinking. And all through high school, it just got worse and worse. When I went off to college, football games, this on the weekends, I was almost never home. I was already at the football games and at my buddies' houses partying and stuff. And once I got out of high school, it just got kind of worse as time went on. When I went to North Greenville, I got sober for about a year, and my granddaddy died, so I relapsed, and it got a lot worse after that. And it just continued to get worse, and moved to Greenville to get better after I got arrested for DUI. And I moved to Greenville thinking it would move away from my problems, but that just got worse from up there. My parents were here, and they weren't always behind me and stuff. They keep agging me on, don't do this, don't do that. And I was just on my own, just got a whole lot worse up there. Got arrested 2 more times in Greenville for simple possession and public drunk. Then after that, I kind of passed out trying to drive home one night and ran through a brick wall. And me and my dad got in a little argument over the phone for about 35 minutes after he found out, and he kind of convinced me to go get help. So I didn't really want to go, but I did. But I had to do what I had to do. It was the grace of God that he didn't take my life from me when I hit that brick wall or when they found me in the middle of the road. And I did my 8 weeks, 2 months at Faith Home and graduated last night. And I just want to thank y'all for all y'all have done for me in my life and all the cards. I still got all of them. I still read them when I'm having bad days and good days. And just kind of helped me through. But I just want to appreciate that. I just want to let y'all know that. Thank you. Oh, and my dad gave me a little cross that Glenn Williams made, and he told me to give it to somebody. And I just wanted one of the Faulkner family come up here. I just want to give this to y'all in the memory of Clint.
The Old Testament reading is from Micah chapter 5 verses 2 through 5a. You can find this on page 1059 in the Old Testament section of the Pew Bible. In this passage, the prophet Micah proclaims the coming of a new David, whose reign will be characterized by peace and caring for the needs of the people rather than by war. Listen to God's word for us. But you, O Bethlehem of Ephratah, you who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has brought forth. Then the rest of his kindred shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall live secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be the one of peace. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Children, play the pipe and beat the drum, for unto us it is born a tiny child, and his name
Wesley, I want to thank you for sharing with us. And your sharing in that way at this time reminded me of a story that supposedly truly happened when I was an associate at Grace in Charleston. They told me this story that a man came who had been under a lot of stress and a lot of problems. And during the service, he was hearing God's hope. He was feeling God's presence. And he said, amen, two or three times out loud. Well, at Grace Charleston, that just didn't happen. And one of the ushers came forward and said, sir, we don't do that here. And he said, yes, but I'm getting the Spirit. And he said, well, it's okay to get the Spirit, but you cannot get it here. Yes, you can get God's Spirit here. And it is okay to deal with the realities and the dark moments and the dust that gets on us in this earth, because that is part of what the celebration of Christmas is about. That God came into our lives, into our darkness, and brings forth light and hope and is present even now through His Holy Spirit. And our prayer concerns, I want to lift up the Faulkner family. I want to lift up Jay Pendergrass and lift up Barbara Shelley, who had some surgery and some few complications after the surgery which might extend her recovery. So let us continue to be in prayer for Barbara. And your own private concerns as you lift them up. And one thing I want to encourage you to pray for is for peace at the family gatherings you'll have today and this afternoon and tonight and coming up, because you know as well as I do that there are some unhealed old wounds and bitterness and uncomfortable moments when you get together with family. Let's pray for God to let this be the last year that those gatherings are uncomfortable and truly have peace and joy. Even if it takes forgiveness. Let us pray. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, our souls reach up to You, our spirits rejoice in You as our salvation. And as You reached out to Your child Mary, Your humble servant, You have reached out to us. And You are mindful of us in our humble state. You have been merciful to us. And so, Lord, like Mary, who we will focus on today, we declare the greatness of Your name. We proclaim Your might and the wonderful deeds You have done for us. We affirm Your power, Your dominion. And we will tell of the glory of Your love and grace toward us and toward all people. We thank You, God, for coming unto us, for taking on flesh and walking among us, for leading us into the warmth and safety of this sanctuary and into Your embrace. We thank You for the babe of Bethlehem and for the Spirit who dwells with us. Help us each day, God, to rely on Your promises and to put our trust in You. Grant us wisdom and discernment and a faithful keeping of Christmas, a keeping in which we give that which is most important, Your love, Your hope, Your peace, and Your joy. Help us pass on these gifts in deeds of caring, in deeds of sharing. Make us instruments of Your peace. And we remember too, Lord, those who are homeless, who are hungry, who are unemployed and seeking to work things together financially. Hear our prayers for them. We pray for those who grieve and mourn today in a season of light and joy. Lord, comfort them. And we hold before You those who have especially placed, and You have placed in our hearts today. We lift their names in silence. We lift the situations that we pray for up to You in this moment of silent prayer. Lord, hear our prayers. And hear us now as we pray as Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now let us continue our worship through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, our special gifts. Creator God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We do thank you for entrusting unto us enough resources to meet our needs and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these returns unto your church. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen.
Please be seated, and we invite the children forward for the children's message.
Y'all come scoot over this way, closer. I don't want to shout. Come closer. The congregation, y'all can't see how many children are up here, but there are quite a few this morning, and we are so glad to have them with us. I want to know some of your favorite movies. Tell me some. What's your favorite movie? Star Wars? You two? What's your favorite movie? Barbie movies. What else?
Black Beauty.
Black Beauty. Power Rangers. Avatar. Spence, what's your favorite movie?
Cars.
I like that movie too. Katie, what's your favorite movie? What? The Three Musketeers? All right. Well, one of my favorite movies is The Sound of Music. And in that movie, there's a song called My Favorite Things. Y'all know what that song is? And some of you might have seen that movie, and you might know that song. And if so, you'll remember that the character named Maria sings about her favorite things. And one of the things that she mentions in that song is brown paper packages tied up with strings. Do y'all remember that part? Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things. You're singing. Yes, the congregation will remember. and so I have a brown paper package like this one tied up with string. And so on Christmas morning, we'll wake up to find lots of packages under the tree. Packages that are wrapped in bright colors and ribbon and pretty bows. And what if there is one package under the tree in a plain brown paper tied with string like this one? Would you choose this package first to open? Or would you choose the big color package that's sparkly and has a big bow on it? You would choose the big one, wouldn't you? Yeah. Yeah. So, after all, a gift is supposed to come in a beautiful package, isn't it? It's supposed to. Well, I think that's why a lot of people have missed out on the gift that God sent to them. You see, God's gift didn't come in a beautifully wrapped package. God sent his son, his only son, as his gift to us. And his mother, Mary, she was a teenager when an angel came to her and said that she was going to have a baby. And his father, his earthly father, was a poor carpenter, and he was born in a stable. And he was laid in a manger. You know what a manger is? You know what it actually is? The manger, what they laid baby Jesus in. It's actually what animals ate out of. They ate their yucky food and slop and nastiness that pigs eat. And they laid baby Jesus, our King, our Messiah, in the manger. That's not pretty beautiful, is it? It's not very beautiful. So, but you know what? It was the greatest gift that the world has ever known. And it was the gift of salvation, and it had your name on it. And it had all of our names on it. The Bible tells us that when Mary found out she was going to be having a baby, she was going to be the one to deliver God's gift to the world, she was filled with joy. And she sang a song glorifying God for choosing her. She said, "The Mighty One has done great things for me." And we call this Mary's song. And the Mighty One has done great things for us too. And he sent us the gift of his love. But some people are so busy unwrapping the beautiful gifts that are wrapped so pretty with the big bow and the shiny package that they miss out on the greatest gift. And that's because it might have come wrapped up in a brown paper package tied up with string. So let's pray. Dear God, help us to see the brown paper package. And help us to be thankful for the gift that you've given us. Amen.
And now, as cautiously as we can, without passing cold and flus, let us pass the peace.
Thank you.
Now let us affirm our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our gospel lesson today is from the Gospel of Luke, the first chapter, and includes what we call Mary's song, but I'm going to read that from a different translation during the sermon. So let's hear just verses 39 through 45 now. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Before I begin my sermon, and I need to apologize, I was handed a note and did not read it until after the prayer time. It's from Judy Roberts, who has had her second cataract surgery and is doing well and will have a procedure on her back tomorrow morning. So please remember to be in prayer. Add to your prayer list Judy Roberts, who will have a procedure tomorrow morning. Let us pray. Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, have you noticed all the commercials on TV sort of daring you to go ahead and spend the money and use the credit card? It's Christmas. You better make that someone special happy. And happiness seems to be promised if we spend enough. And the implied opposite side is if you don't spend enough, that special someone will not be happy, which might make you unhappy. The pursuit of happiness is built into the fabric of our country, and we don't always question what that means or whether it's possible to go out and purchase it. But we have purchased quite a few things, haven't we? Some stacks of gifts and some decorations, and then we have houses and homes and clothing. And there are times I have done it, and I'm sure we all have. We look around our homes, we see what we own, and we say, "Why ain't I happy?" It's okay to say ain't when you're dealing with existential questions. Why ain't I happy? If you live long enough and you buy enough things and you expect them to make you happy, then later on you find out they don't, you come to a kind of a conclusion that things and money and stuff and trying to keep the stuff and keep it up and maintain it and keep it safe makes your life infinitely more complex and confusing and sometimes frustrating, but not necessarily happy. A woman was shopping for her little 5-year-old boy, shopping for a Christmas present for him, and she was intrigued by this kit that had all kinds of little parts and wheels and gears and motors and arms and legs and propellers and things. It was to make robots out of. And she was asking the sales clerk, I don't know, this seems kind of complicated for a five-year-old. Is this appropriate for a five-year-old? And the salesperson said, oh, yes, ma'am, it is an educational toy. It teaches young people about the frustrations and the anxieties of modern living. No matter how you put it together, it doesn't matter. It's not going to work. That's too true to be funny. We go looking for happiness. Sometimes we're angry that we can't find it. We're resentful when we don't get it. And truth be told, we don't spend a whole lot of time worrying about the happiness of others. I've got to find some newer illustrations, but I'm going to use this one more time. In a classic Peanuts comic strip, Lucy asked Linus, what do you suppose we are here for? Why are people here? And Linus answers, someone has said that every person here, each one of us, is here on earth to make someone else happy. To make someone else happy. Lucy ponders that for a moment, and then she pounds the table and she screams, somebody is not doing their job. Maybe somebody isn't doing their job. Maybe it's me. Maybe it's you. If the purpose of life is to love and serve God and to love and serve others, then happiness and purpose must be defined in some way differently than the commercials tell us. Let's look at the life of the young woman we've already heard about who humbly served and loved God and had a heart of compassion and love for others. Her name is Mary. And Mary is not very popular as a preaching character in the Scripture among Protestants. And you must have noticed that. And I suspect that that's because we think, at least some of us have the prejudice and think, that she is entirely too popular among Catholic Christians, so we feel like they make enough fuss over her and we don't have to. I'm not sure about that. Where would the Christmas story be without Jesus' mother, Mary? She is the human connection between God's action and coming into the world. Likely Mary hadn't gotten very much notice in her day until an angel appeared to her. She couldn't have been very popular. She wasn't very rich. She was not famous. She wasn't old enough to have accomplished very much of note. Now, Joseph noticed her. They were engaged. Betrothed to be married. Now, an engagement, a betrothal is more than an engagement, but it is less than actual marriage. An engagement, though, if you read the whole story, that almost ended because Mary said yes to God. The visit from God's messenger changed everything in Mary's life. Truth be told, it made her life much more difficult than before. The Jewish theologian has a say, Elie Wiesel, that I like, said, if an angel ever appears to you saying, do not be afraid, you better watch out. God has something big for you to do. Mary had an anonymous life, but it was her life before. She was young, most likely in her early or mid-teens. She had jobs to do, people to care for, wedding plans to look after. Younger girlfriends were probably excited with her for her upcoming wedding. And she thought she knew what her life was going to be, more or less what it was. If she looked ahead, she may have even projected to her and Joseph's little retirement place on the lake. And then an angel, a messenger from God came and sort of erased that chalkboard of her future plans or formatted her hard drive and started over or took her Etch-a-Sketch from another generation and shook it. The angel Gabriel said, dear Mary, pardon the interruption, but I have good news for you. You are favored by the Lord, so favored, in fact, that even though you're still a virgin, you're about to be pregnant, making you and your culture an immediate outcast, destroying any good social standing and reputation you have, and possibly sabotaging your upcoming marriage, and perhaps leaving you poor and destitute, responsible for raising the Savior of the world. Congratulations. In his own unique way, Bishop Will Willimon wrote this about God's request of Mary. He said, any God who would impregnate a poor, unmarried woman, then send a messenger to tell her that she was blessed, will stoop to almost anything. That God would do such a thing seems odd to me. Yet who am I in my limited imagination to tell God what God should do and should not do in order to get to us? It is outrageous, isn't it, the lengths to which God will go to get to us with His love and grace, setting things right. If it is true that we make too little of Mary, I think we take a flying leap over Mary's song, the second part of today's reading in today's gospel. We just completely skip over it. And we may do it because Mary's song does not limit God's setting things right to just our hearts and souls and reserving our room in heaven above, which is all true, but there's more. Mary's song speaks uncomfortably clearly about setting things right here on earth, here below. And just as Mary was frightened by what the angel could possibly mean, we are, I think, a little bit frightened by what the Spirit-inspired song of Mary could possibly mean to us. Because most of us are fairly comfortable. And Mary's song speaks of reversal and how all that might change. We may be among those who don't want it to change. I'm going to read from The Message from Eugene Peterson, his translation or paraphrase of Mary's song. Mary said, "I am bursting with good news. I am dancing the song of my Savior God. God took one look at me and look what happened. I am the most fortunate woman on earth. What God has done for me will never be forgotten. The God whose very name is holy set me apart from all others. His mercy flows in wave after wave on those who are in awe before Him. He bared His arm and showed His strength, scattering the bluffing braggarts. He knocked tyrants off their high horses, pulled victims out of the mud. The starving poor sat down to a banquet. The callous rich were left out in the cold. He embraced His chosen child, Israel. He remembered and piled on the mercies, piled them high. It's exactly what He promised, beginning with Abraham, right up to now. Riches, possessions, and power can distort our hearts and make us think ourselves better than we are and judge others as lesser beings. When we judge that way, we sin, of course. When we judge that way, we oppress another creature created in the image of God. Power and wealth tend to corrupt us all. It is a rare man or woman who can resist falling in love with the sweet illusion that we are superior because of what we have and what others don't have. Back in India, before it won its independence under British rule, Bishop William Temple of the Anglican Church, he actually prohibited his missionaries from reading this passage aloud in India, Mary's song. He would not allow it to be read in public. He feared it would be so inflammatory that it might incite a revolution. Imagine the words I read today coming from the lips of a simple teenage girl named Mary. The angel Gabriel appeared to her and announced that she was chosen to be the mother of the long-awaited Messiah. Gabriel told Mary that her Aunt Elizabeth, who was well past childbearing age, had become pregnant. And then immediately, Mary went to visit Elizabeth, and under the influence of the Spirit, both women sensed that God had chosen them for special task and would do great things through their children. Mary was given these inspired words. And strangely, and I don't know if you noticed this, she spoke of these revolutions and these changes and this upheaval of the order of the world in the past tense. She spoke of them as if they had already happened. And this was before Jesus' ministry had begun. The song of Mary says God is going to get what God wants. God is going to get what God has wanted from the beginning, and what God has wanted from the beginning is what the prophet Micah has said God wanted. And Micah 6, verse 6 through 8, there are questions answered with the implied, questions asked with the implied answer, no. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Implied answer, no.
Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? The polite answer is no. Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? No, no, no. Verse 8 is the answer. He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. And Jesus later in Luke said the greatest commandment is to love God utterly and completely, and the second greatest is to love your neighbor as yourself. Love of God and love of neighbor leads to compassion and justice and kindness, as well as humility. Humility before God in worship such as this and in prayer. Mary predicted that her son would turn to the least and the lost and those imprisoned and offer them a kind of freedom that no law judge could give. Freedom from empty, meaningless, hopeless lives. This is inspired speech reported from Mary's mouth before Jesus ever uttered a word in his earthly ministry. It foretells a ministry of the embrace of the outcast and a disdain of the selfish and the self-satisfied, remembering the forgotten and forgetting the powerful, comforting the afflicted and afflicting the comfortable. Now I know many of you are saying, this is not what I come the Sunday before Christmas to hear. I know. Come Christmas Eve, you'll hear about stars and shepherds, and it is all true as well. But here today we have Mary as a prophet, inspired, saying, God will get what God wants. In humility and love, serve God. Love and serve others as Mary did. That's the world God has always wanted. Even as far back as the Ten Commandments, if you read them carefully, they divide neatly into love God and love neighbor. Jesus' life saves. But it also illustrates in the way that he lived just how far short we have fallen from what God wants. Pretty much, we want to be left alone, to do as we please. But God has said from the beginning, you were made for me and for each other. Cocooning alone in your home, surrounded by stuff, will never fulfill you and cannot make you happy. That's not what we were made for. And so God has taken the initiative. The very Word which was God became flesh through Mary and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. We beheld Him as grace and truth. The truth was that the world and everyone in it has gone their own way, away from God and away from each other. The grace we beheld was first a babe and then a man named Jesus who lived out completely the love of God and the love of others, no matter what the cost, not even the cross. His life is what God wants our lives to look like. We have a ways to go. But God has given us His very Spirit to make that possible, to make us it possible for us to begin to grow in that direction. God has made a gift of Himself to make it possible for us to grow into the direction of the life of Christ. Let's give God what God wants for Christmas. Humble servants' hearts, a heart of compassion and love for neighbor. Answer God as Mary did in Luke 1 verse 38. Here I am. Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Let it be to me according to your will. Love God. Love others. Claim the power of God's Holy Spirit to live more like Jesus. Yes, there's a room prepared for us. But God wants His will to be done as we prayed for it to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Please stand. receive this blessing, the blessing of the full knowledge of the great love of God the Father, the grace and forgiveness which is yours through Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, the Babe of Bethlehem, and the comfort that passes all human understanding from the presence of God with us as the Holy Spirit. You have been blessed. Now be a blessing to others in the ways that you can. In Jesus' name, amen.